The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Ugashik is still going strong. Nooshigak catches were up a little yesterday, but silvers have yet to show. It's July 20th. I'm Molly Dishner. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Tonight, we check in on the fish left to return to the bay.
Yeah, towards the end of the reds is when you see some humpies or silvers coming through.
And hear about a trip to check out the old Alaska Packers Association cannery in South Naknek.
Alaska is not kind to old canneries, so if it does disappear on us physically, it's super important that we work very hard to preserve the history.
Before we get to those stories, let's look at the numbers. The total run to Bristol Bay is 44.4 million. Tuesday's harvest was 1.3 million, bringing the season total harvest to 33. Another 381,000 fish counted at the towers, nearly 11 million so far this season. Breaking down Tuesday's catch and escapement by district. Ugashik, 295,000 fish Tuesday, season total 6 million. Deliveries had 1,262 fish per. Escapement was 85,000, season total 1.3 million. The total Ugashik run so far is 7.3 million, compared to a forecast of almost 5 million. Igigik Tuesday's catch was 240,000, season total 7.7 million this summer, 876 fish per delivery. Count was 31,000, season total 1.7 million. Total run is 9.4 million, well ahead of the 7.4 million forecast. Naknek-Quijack, 602,000 fish caught Tuesday, season total 11.8 million, 733 per delivery. Naknek River count 42,000, total 1.5 million. Quijack River count 143,000, season total 3.9 million. Forecast for the total Naknek-Quijack run was 23 million, so far stands at 17.3. Nooshigak, Tuesday's catch 145,000 fish, season total 7.6 million, with 795 per delivery Tuesday. The Nooshigak sonar is done counting. Wood River counted 42,000 reds, season total 1.2 million. Agushik counted 33,000, season total 352,000. Total run to the Nooshigak district at 10 million, right about at its preseason forecast. Togiak 25,000 on the books Tuesday, season total 338,000, 185 fish per delivery. 4,000 fish counted at Togiak, total 52,000. Total run 441,000 so far, supposed to come in at 660,000. That's the daily run summary for Bristol Bay. In Area M, 282,000 sockeye caught yesterday, including 220,000 reds. Season total for reds there is 4.8 million, for pinks it's 2.7 million, and for all salmon, 8 million.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes in part from Bristol Bay Brailer, offering brailers, slush bags, and custom fabric projects. More information at 907-469-0782 or online at bristolbaybrailer.com.
We know the red fishing is still going great for many of you. Soon here, we expect the reds to taper and pinks and silvers to arrive in greater numbers. Nooshigak drifter Luke Yacklecock said he'd been seeing more pinks in the net the last few days.
I haven't seen a silver yet. My dad caught a silver, though. But around now is when they start peeking their heads in, showing up.
Who's buying fall fish? We called around this afternoon, and here's the preliminary word. Icicle, Peter Pan, Copper River, all planning to stay open to buy pinks or silvers. Ocean Beauty is buying them for now, says their fishermen can switch to Peter Pan once they shut down. Leader Creek, Trident, Red Salmon, not planning to stay open for them. But Westside manager Tim Sand says it might be a little longer before management switches over anyway.
it's a day-by-day thing. As long as we're harvesting majority of sockeye, we don't want to shut things down while people are still doing well catching sockeye. I'm kind of thinking maybe around the 26th of July we would switch, but it all depends on what happens with the sockeye harvest.
So far, Sand says not many pinks and cohos are even being reported in Nooshigak nets. Just 92 coho and 8,500 pinks total, although he also notes that they're not all being sorted out. Naknak Kwejak typically goes to its fall schedule July 17th. This year, fishing is wide open until the fall schedule goes into effect on August 1. For Igigik and Ugashik, area management biologist Paul Solomon says silver management is a ways out, and it'll depend on whether or not anyone wants to buy them.
And it's mostly the mom-and-pop processors that hang around and do cohos if they're there. Sometimes there's a pretty substantial break between reds and cohos, so they may or may not be able to last through that break and have a market for when the fish do come. As far as I know, we haven't seen many, if any, yet.
For now, he says, the sockeye fishery is still going.
It still hasn't really showed a whole lot of signs of faltering yet. I'm looking at my Igigik and Ugashik numbers, and they're holding, the catch rates are holding fairly steady. In Igigik and Ugashik, the escapements are a little bit higher in Ugashik this year, partly because of larger run, partly because we're still leaking fish down there. And Igigik's actually a little slower right now for escapements.
Fish Report, back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
Tonight, we take a step back from the day-to-day happenings in the fishery. Historian Katie Ringsmuth teaches Alaska history at UAA, and for the past week, she's been in South Naknek with Bob King, exploring the old APA cannery now owned by Trident. Katie joins to talk about the cannery's history and a little of her own. Hi, Katie. Thanks for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Where are you calling in from?
Bob King and I are calling in from the South Naknek Cannery's White House.
And what are you doing there?
Well, Bob King and I are working on a project to evaluate the structures at the cannery for their architectural and historic integrity. Bob and I are here primarily kind of as historians, independent historians, also working with the Alaska Historical Society's Historic Canneries Initiative. And we're also here with a historic architect with the National Park Service who's helping to support this project. Our big kind of intent right now is to determine if the cannery is eligible for the National Register.
How did you choose this cannery in particular to look at?
This cannery is one of the longest running canneries in Alaska, if not the oldest of the canneries. It wasn't the first cannery built in Bristol Bay, but it was the first cannery built on the Naknek River. It began as a saltery for Arctic packing. It was very quickly transformed into a cannery by the Alaska Packers Association. And, of course, the Alaska Packers has very important historical significance to Alaska and even beyond. I also have a very personal attachment to this cannery. My father, Gary Johnson, was the last of the APA superintendents, and he was the superintendent here for many years. He started out as a bookkeeper here and then worked his way up to assistant superintendent, and finally he was superintendent here right up until the mid-1990s.
Have you seen any kind of relics of his time there while you've been walking around?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was four the first time I came up to the cannery, and I spent, you know, my childhood summers roaming the beaches and getting donuts at Mug Up, and then I worked my way through college sliming fish at the cannery. I worked in the egg house. I worked on the slime line, even worked in the kitchen for a little while, laundry. I was a bowl cook, as they call it. I owe a lot of my academic professional career to this cannery. In 1994, my dad was in a boating accident down in Florida. He suffered pretty severe head injuries and had to retire rather abruptly. When he was in the hospital, all the people who came and talked about the cannery, talked about who my dad was, I learned who my father was through these conversations in the waiting room. Fishermen came to see him. People who lived here at the village came to see him. It was really through those stories that I gained an appreciation for this place beyond just a summer camp mentality. And in many ways, it influenced the choices I made to become a historian. And I'm working with the National Park Service and people like Bob King to help ensure that this cannery is not forgotten.
What is the process for deciding whether something's eligible for the National Register?
There's actually four criteria. A property is really eligible if it meets just one of those criteria. Does the property reflect the trends and kind of a representation of an important period in American history? Is it associated with a significant person or people or groups of people? Does the property have architectural significance? Is it reflective of important kind of architectural styles? And finally, will it yield more information down the road? And it also has to be at least 50 years old. And I can say pretty confidently that the cannery here meets not just one, but probably all of the criteria.
That's very exciting. So what'll be your next step?
Right now, we are going through finishing up the evaluation process. And quite frankly, that's going to take more work. But right now, we're just kind of doing this very initial study and gathering information. And then the next step is really going to be to share that information with the community, certainly with Trident Seafoods, with the property's owner, to share with them the historic value of this cannery, and then to figure out a game plan. What should be our next step? I think that's something that the community and Trident Seafoods needs to be a part of to determine where the project needs to go next.
What all have you found while you've been walking through the old cannery the last couple days?
Actually, if you go to Tundra Vision on Facebook, you'll be able to see some of the images from the objects and buildings that we've been going through and looking at. Literally, beauty hides in plain sight here. You really gain an appreciation for the people who built this place, the skill set, the wisdom that they brought to these buildings. You could see the personal connection that goes back 100 years. When you walk through the bunkhouses, you get a real sense still of the people who labored at this cannery. It still has, for example, a Chinatown that is still maintains its architectural and historic integrity. I mean, even the graffiti left behind is a detail, a small echo of the people who really shouldered this industry. And also one of the really fascinating things, at the dining room table in the superintendent's house, there's a little bell that is connected to a wire that rings to the kitchen and alerts a servant to come in. So, again, this is representative of a different era and a different time, but also certainly reflects the power of the superintendent and the managerial structure that existed at these canneries.
Thank you for making time.
Thanks, Molly.
Again, that was Katie Ringsmuth, a historian from Eagle River, joining to talk about the old APA cannery in South Naknek. She and Bob King will present some of their findings tonight right in South Naknek and tomorrow at the Bristol Bay Borough School as part of Fishtival. Back in a moment. In our mailbag today, just one note, a song request going to a listener's fiancé, Byron. Byron will play your song after this program. If you have a message for the fleet, or other tips, story ideas, song requests, drop us a line. fish@kdlg.org, dave@kdlg.org, molly@kdlg.org, or call us at the station, 842-5281. In other fish news tonight, apparently not wanting to be left out of the 2 billion fish action, Southeast Alaska fishermen are having their own 2 billionth Bristol Bay fish party this weekend. The Salmon Beyond Borders campaign and Juno's The Rookery Cafe will host the first ever Southeast Fest. Chefs from all over the continent will cook up wild seafood, salmon, of course, along with crab, scallops, halibut, cod, prawns, sablefish. More info at salmonbeyondborders.org. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute launched new materials to market Alaska salmon recently. They're meant for using at places where salmon is sold and include a poster, table tent, menu sheet, and even a button for waiters. The materials have a vintage look with a salmon featured prominently and a bear hanging out near falls in the background. The tagline is Alaska Salmon, where flavor runs wild. Coming soon to the World Wide Web, a free downloadable 3D replica of every fish on the planet. A University of Washington professor is working on digitizing all of the world's nearly 25,000 species of fish, using CT scans to make the models. In sports news, your baseball scores. Reds beat Braves, Twins beat Tigers, Cardinals topped Padres, Indians defeated Royals, Cubs beat Mets, and everyone else still on the field. The White Sox beat the Mariners yesterday, but today's game was tied at the bottom of the eighth, so maybe we'll see a different outcome. A former scout for the St. Louis Cardinals will spend 4 years in prison for hacking the Astros' player personnel database and email system. He pled guilty in January and was sentenced Monday. A tech website reports that he'll have to pay restitution. The NBA says two games will be played in Mexico City next year. The Phoenix Suns will take on the Dallas Mavericks and San Antonio Spurs at the Mexico City Arena in January. With 24 games held in Mexico City over the past 25 years, that's the most any country has hosted other than the U.S. or Canada. Before we go, the marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay. A small craft advisory in the cards. Tonight, west wind 25 knots, seas at 7 feet. Tomorrow, west wind 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. And from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, also a small craft advisory. Tonight, west wind 25 knots, seas at 7 feet, and patchy fog. Tomorrow, west wind 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. Catch our replays at 10 and 2. Find our older shows archived online. I'm Molly Dishner. With help from the rest of our team, keep in touch. We'll see you back here for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.